It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. Standing before a red curtain in Cairo, President Obama quoted the Quran, the Talmud, and the Bible. And he said the people of the world can live together in peace.
That's how the president ended his address aimed at the Muslim world today. We'll discuss it in this part of the program. The president got a standing ovation, though he addressed the major points of contention between the U.S. and the Muslim world, like the conflict between Israel and Palestinians.
It's easy to point fingers. For Palestinians to point to the displacement brought about by Israel's founding, and for Israelis to point to the constant hostility and attacks throughout its history, from within its borders as well as beyond. But if we see this conflict only from one side or the other, then we will be blind to the truth. The only resolution is for the aspirations of both sides to be met through two states where Israelis and Palestinians each live in peace and security.
President Obama speaking today in Cairo. We'll hear more from that speech over the next few minutes, but let's get some analysis. We're joined in the studio by Michelle Kellerman, NPR's diplomatic correspondent, and also Shibley Telhami. He's the Anwar Sadat Professor for Peace and Development at the University of Maryland. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me begin with you, Professor Telhami. Big speech, your impressions.
Very important speech, touched on many issues, talked to multiple audiences. He, I think, changed the discourse a lot on a number of issues, including militant extremism. We didn't hear the term terrorism. We heard him reiterate the intent to pull out of Iraq is a very popular issue in the Arab world. Talked about Iraq for the Iraqis. We want Iraqis as partners, not as patron. Very important language, I think, and you could get a lot of applause for that. He addressed the Israeli-Palestinian issue. It's a central issue. A lot of people focused on it, particularly in Cairo. He was tough on both sides. He put some new language, particularly on the settlements. I'm not sure how this would be received in the Arab world. I think, in general, the perception will be that I think he said many positive things, but the expectations were so high, maybe too high. I think that was part of the problem for the speech, is that the raised expectations maybe were too high, and I fear an outcome where people will say, I've heard this before, even though he said a lot of different things.
Shibley Telhami, in addition to trying to educate different audiences at the same time, he seemed to be urging people to acknowledge what he thinks they already know. Let's listen to a little bit of the president's remarks about his own speech within the speech.
No single speech can eradicate years of mistrust, nor can I answer in the time that I have this afternoon all the complex questions that brought us to this point. But I am convinced that in order to move forward, we must say openly to each other the things we hold in our hearts, and that too often are said only behind closed doors.
And that includes, in the president's view, I'm paraphrasing here, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. He argued that many Arabs would say privately that they need to recognize Israel, but it's not something they're willing to say publicly, for example. And he spoke of many things like that.
Well, no question that, you know, he said things that people don't want to hear. For example, he said things about Hamas. Hamas is popular in the Arab public that he's trying to reach. He was tough on them. On violence, he was tough. On America's support for Israel, on the legitimacy of Israel. Those are not popular issues. He said that publicly there at the very same time that he was acknowledging some of the issues that he knows are important to them.
He was also tough on Israel, which is something that many Arabs would like to see, or at least tougher than some other American presidents might have been.
I think he was tough particularly on the issue of settlements. He stated that in very, very strong terms, but I'm not sure that he had new language on Israel that is likely to resonate broadly in the Arab world.
Michelle Kellerman, you've covered successive administrations. Condoleezza Rice, the former Secretary of State in the last administration, was, I believe, in Cairo giving a speech similar to this. Is the president's language here breaking very much new ground?
Her speech was mainly about democracy, and we can talk about that a bit. But on the issue of Israel-Palestine, I'm not sure this was breaking new ground as much as trying to change the debate, talking about these issues honestly. So he did say that the U.S. bond with Israel is unshakable, but at the same time, he said the situation for the Palestinian people is intolerable, to which he got a lot of applause. He said that he's committed to pursuing a two-state solution, Israel and Palestine, and that he's going to be working hard on that. And he also said that Arab states have to do a lot, too. So we really talked about the responsibilities that everybody has to move this forward.
Let's hear what the president, this president, as opposed to the last administration, said about democracy in the Muslim world. Let's listen to some more of today's speech.
You must maintain your power through consent, not coercion. You must respect the rights of minorities and participate with a spirit of tolerance and compromise. You must place the interests of your people and the legitimate workings of the political process above your party. Without these ingredients, elections alone do not make true democracy.
Some of the words of President Obama earlier today in Cairo. And we're going to bring another voice into the conversation now. Rami Khoury is editor of the Daily Star in Lebanon. He's in Beirut, and he's a regular guest on this program. Mr. Khoury, welcome back.
Thank you.
How did the speech sound from the Middle East itself?
Well, I was actually rather impressed by the couple of things. The rhetoric, of course, his being in Cairo, addressing people directly, being frank and open about these issues. And the most important thing, I thought, was his equating the Israeli and the Palestinian positions in terms of their past suffering and their present aspirations and future rights to secure an equal statehood. I think putting the Israelis and the Palestinians squarely on the same level was a significant step for American policy. It's a symbolic step, but I think the fact that he's doing it is important, and he's reiterating that he's going to be personally committed to pushing this peacemaking process forward. I think that's interesting. The other thing I thought interesting was he more or less was starting a piece of dialogue, if not a negotiation, with Hamas. By addressing Hamas and talking about what they need to do, I think that was pretty significant. All the other stuff was repeating known positions, but putting it in a context out of Cairo, which I think was important. I think his focus on Islam and the Muslim world is vague and really pretty meaningless, because the problem is not with Islam. Hmm. Most of the issues he talked about were Middle Eastern issues.
Although,
that's what the problem is.
Rami Khoury, Renee here, and we just have a little bit of time left. Did you hear particular subtleties in this speech that would resonate in particular, though, with Muslim communities?
You know, the whole context of the Muslim community is really wrong. I think this is his main weakness. He's still responding to Osama bin Laden, and he's got to overcome this hang-up with Islam and religion. It's not about Islam. It's about human beings who happen to be mostly Muslim, and it's the rights of people that have to be acknowledged.
And Shibley, Tilhami, let me just turn to you on the point of women's rights. This president spoke about that in this speech, and just to quote one line, he says, "I reject the view of some in the West that a woman who chooses to cover her hair is somehow less equal, but I do believe that a woman who is denied an education is denied equality." How would you think this would resonate?
Well, first of all, public opinion polls, at least in the Arab world, show that people are far more open to women having a role in the workplace than a vast majority, actually, of people, and it's an increasing majority from year to year. The problem actually isn't education as much. In fact, in universities today, in many parts of the Arab world, there are more women than men. The problem is for them to get jobs, and research suggests that the biggest problem is the absence of incentives to draw women into the workplace, and that this is really an economic structure problem, political structure problem, far more than it is a religious or a cultural problem.
And that's Shibley Tilhami at the University of Maryland, one of the people guiding us through President Obama's speech today. We've also heard from NPR's Michelle Kellerman, as well as Rami Khoury of the Daily Star in Lebanon. Now, you can listen to or read all the president's speech in Cairo, learn more about reaction to it, and comment yourself at npr.org.